Welcome to the Flame Label Podcast, episode 95.
So, Tyreek, what do you do?
I'm a filmmaker.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Yeah, he's really good.
I don't think I know any filmmakers. That is
exotic.
So
there's not a lot of us out there.
Interesting.
Well, I've not on TV. I've only made one documentary. It was at the Cleveland Underground Film Festival, 2008.
What is an underground film festival? Do they show them movies underground?
No. They show them above ground, but
it's really intellectual. They show intellectual
films. Like an intellectual film festival. I just think, do you do commercials? Because those are my favorite.
No.
Mm-mm, no.
No, he doesn't do commercials. Mm,
really? I just think that is just the height of the art form these days. It is just short and punchy. You really got to just zing the ideas on in there.
That's why I watch TV these days.
That's why it's better than the shows now.
Well, he makes documentaries, so...
It's different.
Yeah, but I think that I've seen documentary commercials. I don't think they have to be limited to any particular thing. It's not a, the starving artist thing just never made sense to me.
No. I just think you should consider it, Tyree.
Her nose is broken in two places. She's going to need surgery.
I'll pay for everything.
Can't even pay your own bills. Look, I really have to go.
Claire, I think someone is stalking me and Samuel.
What?
A book turned up at our place. I threw it away, but somebody glued it back together and put it on our doorstep.
Amelia... I just can't help you right now.
I don't expect you to help. I just want to...
If you're that worried, you should go to the police. I've got to go.
Claire. Hello?
Mama, look.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hola.
In this episode, we are starting our new theme, which is really an old theme, but it's our new... Basically, we're talking about some more horror movies this month. For this episode and this theme, we are joined by Miss Sunelle Strauss.
Hi.
And Mr. Cameron Rice.
Oh, I couldn't get the mute button in time. There we go. Hey.
And we are kicking off our return to horror with the films A Tale of Two Sisters, You're Next, and The Babadook. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. Mrs. Zelag, drink roll call. What do you have for us this evening?
I'm going classic with a vodka water with two lemons.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I will speak for Strauss because that's what I do. But we are also going a little old school for me anyway, which means
grapefruit vodka.
Which means grapefruit vodka.
If you put way
too much juice.
And someone's someone's all pissed about it. But anyway, Cameron,
pour some more in there.
There's too much juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cameron, what do you have?
Coffee with Bailey's.
That is also a return to form, I'd say.
It's awesome.
I would say so. Okay, Mrs. Elag.
What do you want?
Why don't we go ahead and begin our discussion of these three films with 2003's A Tale of Two Sisters.
After spending time in a mental institution, return to the home of their father and cruel stepmother. Once there, in addition to dealing with their stepmother's obsessive and unbalanced ways, an interfering ghost also affects their recovery.
Okay, now before we get into this film, I don't think that that plot synopsis is correct. At least,
I
didn't think that it happened that way.
Yeah.
We lead you to believe that.
I thought that it was things... I thought it was these things happened, and then she ends up in the mental institution, I thought.
She goes back in there.
Yeah, she was there before.
Yeah, she was already there.
Hmm.
That's why she was coming.
Were you taking notes? Were you taking fucking notes?
Apparently not. We watched this one a little while ago, because of someone's rescheduling issues.
I don't care.
Anyway.
Anyways. Okay, so this
Put your head down while people were speaking Korean.
Oh my god.
This was,
did you watch the one on YouTube without the subtitles? Because I
How well did you interpret the unsubtitled version? By the way, it's worth saying that these three films, it's interesting, like, unintentionally, all three of these films have issues with, like, parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, family stuff.
And closets.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
Good call.
They are, yeah, it's like they,
Welcome to the new theme about closets.
It's not what you think it is.
Yeah, really.
Oh,
we have a lot of curious listeners. yeah, it's almost like they were given a prompt, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Family issues and closets, go. Come back in a month. Okay, so this was my pick. This was one. This was the film that I sort of stole from Anel as being her pick.
Mm-hmm.
It was I'm doing all the right things over here.
For I guess.
Bring it. So it was a film that kept popping up on, you know, a lot of lists when you would search horror films, and when we sift through the ones that we have already discussed, this one was sort of near the top, and I was like, well, shit, there's a lot of people that seem to think this is a good one. It's Korean, so, you know, everyone is well aware of my love for Old Boy, and I'll just lump all Korean cinema into that one film. But
the generalization.
Yeah, that's what I do. So I figured, what the hell, and why not? And I was pretty disappointed, actually.
And also, you've done this filmmaker's other film.
I have. Yeah. A Tale of Two Sisters. Also, I should not say because I won't pronounce it right, but it's I Saw the Devil is the other film.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Kim, maybe.
Got it.
But I liked that film much more than I liked this one. I found this one to be difficult to... I don't know if difficult to comprehend is the right way to say it. I felt like I understood it well enough, but I didn't like what I understood, if that makes sense. Like, I was like, no, I get it, and I'm not super scared by it or that thrilled by it, I guess.
Isn't that a quote that we have, like a quote that we had that one night? Just because I get it doesn't mean I like it.
I think so.
Oh, no, if that's the point, it still doesn't mean that I enjoy it. That's what it was.
Yeah. I think that was a quote that you and Brad had one night.
No, definitely not.
Different thing. Different thing.
Yeah,
again.
Okay. Yeah. Bedroom talk.
All right. So, let's go away from the Williams household. Cameron, what did you think of this one?
So this was, first time watch as well. And I know this film got remade with Elizabeth Banks called The Uninvited.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks and, Emily Browning.
Sucker Punch Girl.
Yeah. And I'd be kind of interested to check that one out because it's, so this movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours, something like that. And I certainly do not feel every movie needs to be, short, but I think there is something to the horror genre of like that sweet spot of 80 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can also admit I had to watch this twice because the first time I watched it, I fell asleep.
Right.
sitting up.
Oh my God.
Which I've never done before.
That was like Eric's life every day.
That's true.
That was a first. I think, so the positives, I think there was some great imagery in this, some real creepy imagery. Mm-hmm. The beginning made me think of My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Two little girls, they move in and they're like, oh, let's go explore near the woods. And then it takes a dark turn. Mm-hmm. I'm glad the movie didn't go where I thought it was going to go at one point. Because it's a very kind of interpretive film and what's going to happen. There's obviously going to be some kind of ending or something. So there was one point when, the older sister, it's also interesting that the older sister, this actress was 25 or 26 when she did this movie.
The sister?
The oldest one. Yeah.
The main one, right? Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you look really young.
Yeah.
But there's a line about like, she doesn't like the uncle. And yes. Then the father's very aloof, and then that's when they have the dream where the blood is coming out of the woman, and I was like, if the ending of this is the uncle's molesting these two sisters, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah.
But then the uncle was not mentioned again for 40 more minutes, so I was like, okay, that's definitely not it.
It's just like happened to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of good creepy imagery. The suspense is good. I think at the end, I think the biggest issue for me with this movie is, unlike when we talked about Suspiria, last year, and we talked about like the great thing about horror movies is you can kind of do whatever you want. You don't have to worry too much about explaining. And I am okay with horror movies not necessarily having rules, but you want at least maybe a percentage of grounding, like what this universe is. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with this movie is that it's either a psycho mother movie, a ghost movie, and then spoilers. Oh no, it's actually all a kind of a dream.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel it's a guilt dream. It feels like that either first college creative writing draft or something where it's like, oh, and actually everything turned out to not be what you thought it was. Or if you're like chain writing in a group and you don't really like where the story goes. And so you're like, well, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to say it's all a dream.
Yeah.
And which it's not necessarily that, but that's the impression that it gave me.
Yes, and I think like, and that, I think if the movie was only 80 minutes, that would work. I think it'd be, like, I'm not saying it would be all okay, but it'd be like, hey, you know what, for a tight 80-minute movie, maybe I don't like the ending, but it's got all this cool imagery and all this cool stuff. But it really, both a benefit and a harm is that the movie really takes its time. So for the ending to be that, it's not so much like, oh, now I know the twist and it doesn't work. Because Sixth Sense, I think, still works and is a creepy movie. But this would be like if the ending of Sixth Sense is Bruce Willis waking up on the bed right after getting shot, and his wife is like, oh, my God, I saved you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the whole movie was a dream. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cruiser, what'd you think of this?
I'm pretty much in line with everybody. There were parts that I didn't understand. I was like, I don't really even know what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was only like one creepy part to me, I guess, was when like the lady was crawling across the floor. That creeped me out a little bit, but everything else was more like, these people sleep a lot. Like, I mean, everybody's just always sleeping, and I mean, that's fine if you just got back from the nut house. I'm sure you're tired, but, so then, I mean, like, as soon as you figure out what happens at the end, I have like 7,000 questions. Like,
me too.
Like, is she fight clubbing herself? Like, as, like, if the dad walked in at that time, she would be like punching herself and knocking herself unconscious and stabbing herself in the hand, and like, why didn't we get to see that? Cause that would have been cool. I don't know. And I do agree with the first draft of your freshman writing, where I feel like they just tried to put a bunch of different aspects of crazy into one, like, script and have it work. And it didn't work for me.
Mm. Strauss.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Like, you know, obviously in the end you figure out, you know, I don't know, are we spoiling?
Of course.
I don't know. You figure out that she's fighting with herself. And so throughout the movie, like, example, like, when the stepmother is taking pills, but really is it just her taking pills the whole time? Like, she's supposed to take her nightly pills.
Probably
her
crazy pills, probably.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he puts them in front of her.
And then, like, her dream where she has the period, but it's her sister, but then she walks into her mother-in-law or stepmother's mm-hmm. and asks for a tampon. So all of that's all made up.
Well, like, I think she got her period, but, like, all of her personalities did also.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like, what's that movie where all their birthdays are in May? And they're, like, fighting it out. And
oh,
European Vacation.
What's the one with John Cusack?
John Cusack, where they're, like, fighting it out because they're
Identity.
All... Thank you. Yeah. I think that was kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, to where it was just all the personalities of one person.
Right.
Spoilers for that movie, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
I did, and Elle talked about the period thing. Later in the movie, there was the main sequence that got me at the time to where it was along those same sort of, it was along the same sort of lines as the period from earlier, to where I put period blood hand from vagina monster ? So it was the sequence where, you know, she's getting close to finding out that the mom is dead, and there, it looks like something could have, like a hand could be coming out of where her vagina would be. And I'm like, holy shit, this could have gone really dark, you know,
kind of
like how Cameron and the molestation that didn't happen. I was like, whoa, this could have really been fucked up.
Right.
But it didn't do that. So, I mean, it's not, a real ringing recommendation when we're talking about things that didn't happen in the movie.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not saying I
really
wanted
true.
My interpretation. I'm glad that didn't happen.
It's like, yeah. Set the record straight.
Yeah, let me say, I'm not saying like, well, the uncle should have been a molester.
So
I would have given this a recommend.
Yeah. I have a weird question, and this has just always kind of plagued me, and then I must have been, like you said, thinking about everything else but watching this movie while I was this, but I've always thought it was weird to give people pills when they have an episode. Don't they take like 20 minutes to kick in?
Yes, or give the person the whole bottle of pills because there's always the chance that they'll eat them all and overdose.
Right.
So like, there should be someone administering. Like in the movie, they showed the dad giving them, but at the end, she has them in her hand. She's just walking around with a whole bottle of them.
Right. But I mean, that lady has like an episode on the floor, and I mean, my first instinct wouldn't be to like just give her a bunch of pills and then wait 20 minutes. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've seen that in a couple movies. Like, I mean, I hate to reference Dumb and Dumber, but like, saying, and like, they immediately calm down. And I mean, those must be really great pills because I've never had any like that.
Just, yeah, like, they must like dissolve in the mouth or something.
Yeah, there you go.
I always figure that's filmic shorthand.
Yeah, it must.
It's like,
yeah.
Kind of like when someone calls the police and the police are there like in a minute.
Right.
What, that doesn't happen?
And Cameron,
you know what? Sorry, we're all white. Yes, it does.
Cameron, it happens in Nebraska, so.
Well, there must be something for people that have seizures. Like, I would see more of like a you know, like an EpiPen type of thing that's instant. But oh. there must be some kind of pill that, like, I guess, like, what if you're having a seizure and your, you know, throat's closed up? How would you even swallow it? Mm-hmm. But her little thing, her little fit was pretty scary.
Yeah, that was one.
That escalated quickly.
That was one of the more upsetting parts where she vomits and gets it in her hair and all that.
But I mean, like
that's real.
Technically, she wasn't there. Is that right?
It wasn't even. It didn't even happen then, right?
Right.
It was. No. That was the uncle. That was the family member. That wasn't the sister.
But the whole time, the dad and the girl had been there by themselves, right?
Yeah. Is that what you are understanding?
I didn't take it that way.
Because the dad has to call the so-called stepmom or his.
The nurse, stepmom,
yeah,
person.
He has to call her and says, I need help. You're going to have to come here. And then she comes there and gets her.
But when she's impersonating the stepmom, she talks about how she invited the uncle over.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the uncle and the aunt did actually come for dinner.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
I interpreted that the uncle and the aunt were there the night the mother and sister died.
Mm. Right.
So and that's more of a conjuring in her head again.
Oh, okay. That's why she's got the crazy seizure.
They were there in that flashback. They show
mm-hmm.
that they were there.
But I mean, if they weren't there the second time, why would they show that car scene where they're talking to each other? Did she remember that or like make that shit up?
So this is another thing with a movie like this.
Part of the problem. Like,
whenever you have this was all a dream or a flashback or whatever it was, and then you're jumping to other characters that aren't the main character, where there's things that character could not have seen.
Right,
right.
It was not there for. It's just one of those things. But I will say, understandably so, I think we're kind of getting really hung up on the story, which really makes sense. I still think there's a lot of good creepy stuff in this movie from the filmmaking standpoint. I think the first time you meet the stepmom, and it's almost like she's floating down the hallway like a vampire
mm-hmm.
in this dark hallway. Like, there's a – I like the movie – the reason I think this movie's frustrating is the story doesn't gel. It doesn't quite work. But there's some really cool imagery, like the weird thing with the ghost goopy thing coming out of the middle of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like
near the end.
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff in there where I'm like, cool.
Supposedly, harassing the nurse stepmom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that part. I was like, go get her, bitch. Like,
I just realized that like the stepmother's parenting was exactly what I just did to my dog. Like shut into a room up. And told him to shut up.
Well, while you were away, I was like, well, that's how I put Anna to bed. Just kidding, just kidding.
It was sort of like that tonight.
No.
A little bit. A little
bit. Wasn't even.
I was more like that than anyone.
I was going to say, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I thought this is it had a nice twist. Because you're totally in it, and you're like, oh, this is a really fucked up family. I feel sorry for her. And then you're like, oh.
I mean, I wasn't totally in it, to be honest.
I think the thing is what they're hoping for is that there's going to be this gut punch. And they really do an admirable job of building up the relationship between these two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So when the reveal comes that the sister's been dead the whole time, I think the emotional reaction is not supposed to be like, you know, a sixth sense and like, oh shit. I think you're almost supposed to feel like a gut punch.
Right. Yeah, actually, like, felt more about that scene than figuring out that she was like by herself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like she was like screaming at her sister and the dad is like must have been standing there like, oh my god, what in the fuck is going on right now? Like I know.
Can we...
who's your interpretation of the dad right there? Oh my god. Russ.
That's how dads talk.
It's like Ben Affleck in Pearl Harbor. I'm ready to hear that face on.
Can we talk a minute about how terrible of a person the mother is? The real mother.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Why is she bad? What did she do?
Oh my god. Well, I don't know, give up on life.
The whole, you know, hanging yourself in your child's closet.
In her daughter's closet.
Or your dresser.
Hey, she'll be found.
God.
Yes.
What a terrible thing to do. I mean, that's just so awful to think about.
Like, I, not only-
She'll never be forgotten.
Yeah, well, not only do I want to, like, kill myself, I want to take all of you with me into the worst psychological hell you'll ever have. Like-
And I'm going to make the youngest of you suffer the most.
Right. Well,
I mean, her dresser.
She actually ended up suffering for a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What a terrible way to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the stepmom smothered. At the end, that's just like, meh.
Yeah, the smothering part, ooh, when yeah. she's trapped under there, and I mean, that was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that definitely got accomplished what it was setting out to do.
Yeah, I have mild claustrophobia when I get stuck in the couch cushions.
Yeah.
My God.
Especially when the stepmom says, you know, you're going to regret this, because she knew something was going on.
Hmm. Hmm. All right, well, do we have anything else about that one?
I think it's worth checking. I really think, like, I think, like, if it was, like, 20 minutes shorter, I think it'd probably, like, if it was just a little tighter.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be more palatable. I think it's worth checking out, though. I mean, the filmmaking is great in it, the compositions of shot and everything. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting that it's, like, the connection between this filmmaker, because this filmmaker, after I saw The Devil, went and made the Schwarzenegger movie, The Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also really cool. It's a different kind of movie, but it's really fun. Adam Wingard, who made Your Next, is remaking I Saw the Devil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
I wonder... I wonder how that's going to be.
Well, I'm sure we'll see.
How was the I Saw the Devil?
You wouldn't like it, I don't think, Strauss.
I liked it. Isn't it the one where the guy's...
It's where the guy almost kills him and then he keeps going back over.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
Strauss, how do you feel about the scene in Pet Sematary where the little kid cuts the Achilles tendon of
God.
Hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Don't. Like, the it's Rachel. Haunted me forever.
The yeah, Rachel.
That whole movie is the worst movie of all time.
Pet Sematary or I Saw the Devil?
Pet Sematary, where the person's up in the attic yelling Rachel.
Rachel!
Yeah, not cool.
Are their scoliosis back?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the old rope back. That's not good.
Well, depending on how I felt on that scene, is that how the I Saw the Devil is?
No, I don't know what he's saying. Oh. You can watch it.
There's an go for it. You know, I hope you're not sensitive about your Achilles tendon.
That is freaky when you think about people under your cars with...
It's in the bed, but
yeah.
Same sort of deal, yeah.
Right?
Oh, shit. No, I didn't think about that until now.
That's why you keep your keys in your hand.
It's true. Always do that, Cruz.
Shit.
All right, so before moving on to our next film, which is Cameron's pick, we would like to mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's just that simple. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So, our next film is from 2011, and it is Your Next.
I just want you all to know how much it means to us that you're all here.
Thanks to Mom and Dad.
Beautiful.
Just a perfect day.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy food, and help us to do our part. With kind words and loving deeds.
Amen.
Amen.
It gets dark, we go home.
What is that?
Oh, it's such a perfect day.
When a gang of masked, axe-wielding murderers, that's the tongue twister, descend upon the Davison family reunion, the hapless victims seem trapped, until an unlikely guest of the family proves to be the most talented killer of all. What a title. Most talented killer of all. That's great. I like that.
Would you have liked that better than your next?
Yeah.
That's a lot of writing in blood, though.
The most talented killer of all. I'm just happy that it was Y-O-U-R-E and not Y-O-U-R, because from the people that were doing the killing, I felt like,
It's not your next, it's my next.
Yeah.
They got their grammar right.
Right? Good job, Strauss.
That's right. Okay, so Cameron, tell me about why you selected this film for us to watch.
I love it.
Expand upon your loving of it.
So this movie, despite the fact that it says 2011, that's when it was doing festivals. It came out in theaters in 2013. And for me, I think I saw it in theaters opening weekend. It did okay. But it was a case of being like a nice surprise. And also the fact that there's not too many. Now we're seeing like, there's kind of this, you know, talk about a horror renaissance now, in the last, year with films like It Follows and Babadook and stuff like that. But at the time, it was nice to see a kind of throwbacky horror movie that wasn't a part eight of a found footage thing. and probably cost a little bit more than $1 million. And it felt like it was made by people who are fans of a genre and not a committee.
Tell me about the runtime, Cameron.
Yes.
Oh, that it's only like 90 minutes?
Well, no, okay. You're telling me about who the people were acting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can talk a little bit about how it is, you know, it's directors in some of the roles.
Yeah, Adam Wingard, the director, plays Wolfmask. The writer is there's Wolfmask, Sheepmask, and whatever the third mask is. I can't think of the top of my head.
Like a tiger,
I thought.
Some kind of thing. Yeah, he's the one that gets kicked in the balls. He's the writer. The movie also has Barbara Crampton from Reanimator as the mom. Larry Fassenden, who's a indie horror movie writer director, is the guy at the very beginning who has really bad sex.
Oh, man.
Just fantastically bad sex. So awkward.
With a 12-year-old person.
That's not at all what I was going to say, so I guess I'll skip over that part. This looks like the best.
The most talented sex of all.
It also stars Ty West. Is in the movie very briefly. Ty West is the director, writer-director of I Saw the Devil in Innkeepers. So this is, it feels...
Joe Schwamberg, if I can say it.
Yeah, Joe Schwamberg. The writer and director of Drinking Buddies and a number of, like, huge mumblecore movies. I don't know. To me, this just felt like a nice throwback to old, obviously taking the home invasion thing, the kind of slashery stuff. But it also, because like it's this group of filmmakers and using their buddies, it kind of felt like a nice throwback to like kind of 60s films in that way. Where it's like, I want to make a movie, I'm going to put my buddies in it. And so seeing it in a multiplex playing like right next to Elysium and all these other movies was like refreshing. It wasn't something I had to go find on VOD.
Thank you for bringing up Elysium and reminding me what a pile that was.
Oh my god.
I think the movie's funny. Like, I think it's like legitimately really funny.
This one, you mean, not Elysium.
Yes, correct.
Cruz, what did you think of Your Next?
I don't know.
Hard-hitting takes.
Yeah, I like the, I've always liked the, like, we're all in the same house and someone's getting us and people react differently and that kind of deal, or we're all in the same place and shit's happening. I thought, you know, like I didn't see the twist coming, spoilers. And then the second one, cause I wrote, where's the boyfriend this whole time? Got it. Okay. Never mind. Got it. and so like that was kind of like, I hate to use the word cool cause that's really weird to say, but, it was kind of like an interesting way to, like, figure out who it was, because obviously right away you're like, who the fuck are these people? And that having been said, like, I do think of it more like a slasher. Like, I originally was, like, watching it thinking it was going to be, like, The Strangers.
Where they're just trying to creep him out.
Right, which is, like, the scariest movie of all time. And so, like, once I got over the fact that it was, like, that you had to be in a different mindset to watch this movie, and then I liked it a lot more than I was, like, at the beginning, I'm like, this isn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, blah, blah, blah. But, like Cameron said, you know, think of it more like old school slasher movie instead of, like, psychological things are behind you kind of a deal. And then I did enjoy it. And what are the chances that you're dating a survivalist? Like, damn, that's bad luck. Sorry. And also, I wrote the killers are like wild hog dads. Like, I feel like they wanted, like, one last, like, fun thing to do. And this is, like, what they did.
So, oh, I would have.
Take.
I would have never guessed that wild hogs would get referenced. Not in a million years.
You're welcome.
I'm embarrassed to say that I've seen that movie.
Oh, Strauss, bad form. What did you think of this movie?
I thought it was good. This was a second watch for me.
Yep. We watched this probably last year after probably doing a round of these shows and threw it in the old Netflix and.
I liked it better this time. I kind of knew what was going to happen, but it was still scary, fun. I still think that girl's a badass. I don't like when she blends
the
guy's head up.
You don't like that? I was like, that was
awesome.
Well, you know, she's just freaking the fuck out. Like, she's just like, oh my gosh, I really got to do this.
Blend them brains up.
And then the knife straight into the top of the head. I was like, ooh. Damn.
Yeah, I like the idea with the nails in the board. I think I'm going to keep that for something.
Oh, you're going to Home Alone it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just totally Home Alone. You going to do the axe at the front door?
Yes. I'm definitely going to.
I forgot the micro machines. She did that. Forget those.
Yeah.
Some of those tricks.
The
part that really freaked me out was the sister running through the door and just slashing her neck open.
Yeah, that was
that wire. That was a really gross part.
That was the one that made you pretty squeamish.
Yeah. But I like when they're all sitting and having dinner and like really just fighting and going at it. Like, what a good time to have someone start getting killed.
Right? Because they're having like first world problems and then you're like, oh, there's an arrow in someone.
Yeah. I think that's
shit just changed.
I think that's important though. I think that that's a vital part of the movie, because if you have them and they're all hunky dory 50s, Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
You're just like, you know, what's going on? Why would they have anyone, why would anyone want to kill any of these people? You know, when it's a little more like, you know, this is like an actual family and this person can't fucking stand this other person and it's weird and they're making these cutting remarks.
Yeah.
I kind of like that it adds a little bit of the realism into a very unreal sort of violent film.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I did like this a lot more the second time watching it as well. I think the first time I was sort of victim to the promotion in that I saw this really creepy poster and I sort of thought it was a different type of a film than what it was. And so through no fault of the film, I came in expecting something more creepy and you have one big scene as opposed to a throwback film.
Right.
And so that just, you know, with my expectations being different, I just was having a hard time with it. This time around, knowing what it was and just being able to appreciate, oh, okay, this is like, you know, some kind of a traditional, for me, like a traditional 80s sort of film where it's more about how they get killed and how cool it is and how the different ways that they can get their heads lopped off or whatever.
Right.
And that's the main goal. And you get to have the, you know, little bits of humor in there within them getting killed. And you get to see, you know, not Rashida Jones kill a bunch of people and,
oh my God,
and all those sorts of things. So yeah, I liked it more than I was expecting actually, because I know that when Cameron had picked this one, I was like, oh man, like I liked that movie. Okay. But I don't know if I'm going to have a ton to say about it. And then I kind of, you know, got out of my pissy pants mode and
give, which is rare.
Yeah, it is rare, you know. Well, you know, here's the thing, like, if I'm being honest, if Rachel would have picked this, I'd have been like, oh, fuck. Really, Cruz? Really, Cruz, are you picking that one? Or are you sure you don't want to pick something different?
He would have tried to, like...
And you know what? I would have been like, I don't fucking care. Pick one then.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so since Cameron picked it, I was like, okay, well, he must have a
reason.
You know, he must have a reason. I don't know. You know.
I'm steadfast.
And so I, instead of even saying, are you sure you're wanting to pick that one, Cameron? I just, you know, went ahead and went along with it.
Yeah, I like
maybe that's a sexist thing. I don't know. Maybe it is sexist.
Jeez.
No, I think you just enjoy Cameron more than me, which is totally understandable.
You know, it's like the little...
It's always the guys that do.
It's just the little dose, right? It's just the little bits. Like, I don't talk to Cameron every week, Cruz.
Oh, I see. I see. No, I think it's more like what you said. Like, if Cameron picks one, he's, like, actually thought about it, as opposed to me that's, like, Google... scary movies that are pretty good, and then I pick one.
You know, there's your BuzzFeed list. This movie's pretty good.
I went on to HuffPost, and it said this one is scary as fuck.
So this one was like this. Well, it showed up first on the images, so it's, I just picked it.
Well, that's actually kind of the list that Eric was talking about.
That's what we did.
From BuzzFeed and Huffington Post.
That's what we did for A Tale of Two Sisters.
All jokes aside.
Yeah.
Good. No, I think the main thing with this movie, I think it did suffer from people assuming it was going to be The Strangers or like Funny Games.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't. Right, and
Scream.
I think this is more, I think of this movie the same way I do think of something like Scream or The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's using the horror elements. Like this is not, it's not a comedy. It's not like Scary Movie or something like that, but it's still it's a horror comedy, but it still uses like the horror stuff is filmed like a horror movie. Like, I think the sequence in the basement with the camera, with the flashes going off over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Is a really cool sequence. I think, the beginning, with the song, I think the song playing on repeat is a good creepy little sequence.
God. Oh, that is definitely the song to take us out this time.
Perfect. Oh, nice.
I think there's like just a lot of elements that are like, I think the father finding the closet with bottles of piss and candy bars.
Like
there's something just like, ew.
Like he gets it right before he dies. He's like, oh my gosh.
But then it's those moments of comedy where it's like the father gets killed and then the son is like, did you have to do that right in front of me? And then the guy takes his headphones off and goes, did you say something?
Right. Or like girlfriend's like, let's bang in front of your mom and like, listen.
She's like, you're no fun.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. Yeah, because it's playing with the expectations of something you would see in like a hostile movie or something like that, where it's like, oh yeah, the people who get off on the violence, I've seen this 100 times. But then having the other character be like, ew, no, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah. That's my mom, dude. Have some respect.
And then when she throws at the very end before the blender, she throws soup on him, and he goes, "It's not even hot, you stupid bitch."
Yeah, I laughed at that part too. That's right. That is. And then like the very end, I mean, obviously we spoiled it, but when she like was deciding if she was gonna fucking kill that guy or not, and she did, I was like, "Yes, you did!" I was really excited about that part.
Yeah, I'm glad she killed him.
You can just see Cruz. I can just see Cruz with, you know, a captain in her hand. Sweatpants on, maybe not. Standing up and cheering.
Hoy, hoy! That's what I did, yeah.
And then Joe Swaberg walking around through a quarter of the movie with an arrow in his back like a cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
God, he does such a good job at being a complete asshole.
He's my favorite character, by far.
Oh, he's one of my favorite characters. I love, like, at the dinner table, seems unprofessional.
Yeah! He's just such a dick to everybody. Yeah,
total dick.
Well, obviously, because
and then he gets all mopey when his wife doesn't want to do it in the bathroom.
Yeah, she's like, "Don't touch me." So, like, I mean, he's obviously having some issues with that. So,
where's your Vicodin?
Oh,
and then the whole argument about who can run the fastest, and he's like, "I can do it, but I can't. I can't run right now."
Right.
What do shoulders have to do with your legs? I got an arrow in my back.
Just like, okay, and then I know like this is getting way too into it, but like that's like just part of the movie where like I'm yelling at them, you know, this is a bad idea. Everyone here should know this is a bad idea. Like, you're just gonna run free right at the beginning and everything's gonna, you're gonna come back with the cops, like fucking Chunk from Goonies and shit. Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Well,
the build up to that is genius when she when she is all about like, I can run a 3 miles in 23 minutes. Yeah. Even none of you ever believe in me.
You never support me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got really deep. Like, family problems were coming out, and so they were like, okay, baby, we'll let you go. Well, my thing was, she didn't have any keys in her hand.
Like, yeah, she's running to the car.
Was she going to run from BFE into town? Like...
Yeah, I mean, she could run 3 miles.
But that's the scary movie part. So I was like, okay, rein it in.
Yeah, especially when she starts slow-mo and you're like, oh, there's an axe or an arrow or something on the way.
I mean, I just thought it would be funny if, he's just waiting outside. And I think I wrote, as soon as she goes out there, she's going to get plugged in the head. Like, I thought she's just going to run out and he's just going to be standing there, sidearm with the bow and arrow, funk, right in her face. But, I mean, The Wire was also hilarious. So good for him.
She gets, clotheslined.
Oh.
What if they would have just had her, completely full of shit, and she gets out there a quarter of a mile and just wants to lay down and just can't hack it. Oh, fuck it, this is too far. Can't do it.
I feel like her wireless signal would have been on by then.
But... Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's the other great line where he's like, they're illegal, but you could get them online for $30. You piece of shit.
You know what I was thinking when I was watching this is I thought that if Cameron ever had a movie produced, it would be something like this.
Yeah, I was interested to hear what you had to say about it.
To where it's got humor in it, and it's horror, which is Cameron's, one of Cameron's things. So I was like, this seems like something that would be up your alley to produce.
I think, yeah, it's the comedy for me also. And I do love the surprise of if you were going to do The Strangers, and then it turns out Liv Tyler knows fucking, survival skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Not even close.
No, not at all.
It just turns out she's Arwen for real, and she just beats the shit out of him.
And I love the explanation. It's my father took me to this, a survivalist training camp, and then I moved to the United States when I was 15.
Yeah. But I didn't forget. Well, she's, nailing nails into boards and shit. Yeah.
And then her boyfriend at the end is who knew you'd be the best at killing everybody? Which, kind of weird, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I love you. You were supposed to be, part of the thing. Don't worry. I wasn't going to, leave you behind and run away like a coward.
I do want to talk about, too, the first guy she kills, which is such a great, playing on expectations, is that they come through the window with an axe, and then everything goes in slow motion, and the music is doing that, wah, wah, wah thing. So this is, what you would normally expect in a horror movie where something crazy badass is going to happen. And it does, but instead he misses, and then she kicks him in the balls, and the music completely cuts out. Mm-hmm. And then hits him in the hammer with a leg, and then beats him amongst the head, 10 or 11 times.
Yeah, just keeps hitting him.
Blood.
That's
just
the part that seemed realistic, though, because, you'll be in a scary movie, and you're like, just kick him in the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Throw something at their eyeball, things that will actually hurt. And so I was like, yes, this is realistic.
Well, and it is nice that it's not like a water balloon full of fake blood either, because, she's just whapping on him. Mm. It's not like she smacks him once and then his head explodes or something.
But there's also subtle things I think the filmmakers do really well, is once you see the characters without the mask, because they take their masks off probably about three-fourths of the way in the movie, mm-hmm. they should lose all their power, but there's still a creepiness, once they put the masks back on. And that was, a very smart choice to pick these, all white masks.
Mm-hmm.
And they are at Hot Topic right now.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I'm actually going to
You can go get those.
Yeah, I just peeked in for a second and I saw them and I sent Eric a picture and I was like, you're next, bitch.
Wow.
So you can be that for Halloween if you want.
I might need to go do that.
Cruz, you should go as someone from The Strangers.
We're going as Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that
go as one of the strangers on The Price is Right. Have the sack head, the Price is Right shirt. Yeah.
Price is Right is not cool. The Strangers is not cool. I don't like that movie at all.
Cruz, you should have a name tag that says Cruz, and you could wear the little mask, and you can just knock on people's doors and go, "Is someone there?" And just say that creepy shit that she says through the door.
Yeah, just walk up and say, have a Charlie Brown teacher voice.
Yeah. It'd be good. No one would get it. They'd think you were weird, but I would appreciate it.
Would you?
Yeah.
And then the cops, neighborhood watch comes by and they're like, we heard there was some creepy 30-year-old trick-or-treating,
Don't ruin my night, bro.
I get arrested for public intoxication, and it's all your fault.
Yeah, well, story'd be worth it.
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be worth it for me.
Great.
All right, so do we have anything else about Your Next?
I think it's fun. I think if people go in with the expectations knowing that it's like, it is a horror movie, but it's like a fun horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's supposed to like, oh, creep you out and all this other stuff. I mean, there's definitely good creepy moments, but, I think, has anyone here seen The Guest yet?
You know what? I almost have watched it twice. I keep waiting to have Anel do a pod shot with me for that one.
That was their next movie.
Oh, okay.
This team.
Same sort.
Okay.
Same writer and director as The Guest. And ever since then, now the two of them are now about to do, like I said, I Saw the Devil, and they're doing the adaptation of Death Note, the manga.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is like, I guess, a creepy high school kid sees ghosts kind of thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
I do want to say, like, I love the score. Like, the last chunk of this movie, that kind of, like, when she's like, she goes back into the house and she's like putting up the axe and everything. The score has like that do 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 do.
I know, it's like a montage. Like,
oh, so good.
That is the good stuff. All right, so let's move on to a more recent film, an even more recent film. It is from 2014, and it is The Babadook.
Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks.
Babadook, duck, duck.
That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look. Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam.
Did he think that about my dad before he died?
He sees things as they are, that one.
I promised to protect you if you promised to protect me.
Oh, my God. Did he hurt anyone?
The boy has significant behavioral problems.
This monster thing has got to stop, all right? It's just a book. It can't hurt you.
You don't have to be fine, you know.
Just a bit stressed at the moment.
All children see monsters.
Not like this. I want to report someone stalking me and my child.
You can't get rid of the Babadook.
You can bring me the boy. You can bring me the boy.
Lost her husband in a car crash on the way to give birth to Samuel, their only child.
That's not a very
sentence fragment. Sentence fragment.
I knew you're gonna have problems with that.
She struggles to cope with her fate as a single mom. Samuel's constant fear of monsters and violent reaction to overcome the fear doesn't help her cause either, which makes her friends become distant. When things cannot get any worse, they read a strange book in their house about the Babadook monster that hides in the dark areas of their house. Even Amelia seems to feel the effect of Babadook and desperately tries in vain to destroy the book. The nightmarish experiences the two encounter form the rest of the story. No Paul Harvey pun intended.
That was a nice little pause before you said that, though.
Right?
That was good. Okay, so this was Mrs. Z-Legs.
Yes, I did 7 hours of research.
Yes.
I've seen this movie 32 times.
As per usual.
And I know all of the characters' backstories in and out. So this was a Google search. And it sounded cool. So there.
You know, go ahead.
I did, though. The lady that plays Amelia, I watch on Netflix Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries because I'm a weirdo and I like murder shows. And she is Miss Fisher in that movie, or that show. She's like a 20s Australian person that solves mysteries because she has a bunch of money and doesn't have anything else to do. So I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, I couldn't recognize her because she looks so much like shit in this movie. And in that show, she looks, like, adorable all the time. So it took me a little bit, but I finally figured it out.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Before you get into what you thought about this one, the reason that I came across this was due to following a certain individual that Cameron and I recently did on Filmographies. I started following William Friedkin on Twitter, and this is a while ago, and he had mentioned that The Babadook was one of the scariest movies he's ever seen.
Really?
And we watched it, like, right after that.
Yeah, we got it on VOD pretty soon after that. And, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that. So, Cruz, what did you think of your selection of the highly researched Babadook?
I would say out of the three of these, it scared me the most. It was the creepiest. Nice. What was that?
That's going for it.
I think that it was, there were a lot of creepy elements in it. Anytime you mix, like, creepy monsters with, like, children things, it weirds me out. So, like, the book was weird to me. And when I was little, I used to hide scary books all over. So, like, she hides it on the shelf, and, like, I get it. Like, I used to hide, I read, like, Amityville Horror, and I couldn't even look at it. It scared the shit out of me. So, like, I had to hide it somewhere in my parents' house. But, like, the kid is so creepy. I think it has something to do with the accent, but I'm not sure.
Like, thin eyes.
Oh, we'll talk a lot about him, I feel like.
So, like, I guess all around, just, like, Close Notes version of it, it was creepy. I wasn't sure if, like, that's just things that happen in Australia, because they have, like, really big snakes and stuff, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
If this was just, like, a normal thing, but, I feel like it wasn't, so, I liked it. I thought it was pretty creepy.
Mr. Rice, tell me about your enthusiasm for the Babadook.
I love the Babadook. The Babadook, I came across it, not like the William Friedkin tweet. I actually, Cinefamily, which is a local, movie, I don't know how to put it. Like, they show a lot of old films and new films and stuff like that. They get a lot of stuff very early. So it was around this time last year that they were screening horror movies. So it's like, come watch this retrospective of this filmmaker and do this and do that. And then one was like, check out this film, The Babadook. It's getting a lot of praise in the festival scene. So I saw the trailer, and I sadly had worked that night. I wasn't able to go, but the trailer really grabbed me. And so I kind of became, like, really into seeing it. It was something similar to when I saw the trailer to Let the Right One In back in 2008. Mm. Kind of trying to find these, like, foreign horror movies. And sometimes, you know, they blow up and sometimes they don't. And, it's interesting that then when The Babadook came out, it did kind of blow up, in a kind of indie art house way that, like, a lot of film people were talking about. It was talked about a lot of podcasts. It made a lot of people's top 10. When the Academy Awards were coming out, there was a lot of really good articles about how, if horror was a more respected genre, the lead would have been nominated. And I think about that, and I'm like, and you watch what she does, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, she's good.
She definitely displays a bit of range.
And so, I don't know. I've seen this movie a number of times. It feels like a throwback in a different way to where, like, Your Next is a throwback to, fun 80s party kind of horror movies that you can watch with a bunch of friends on a Friday night. The Babadook feels like a throwback to something in, like, the Roman Polanski, Repulsion, Rosemary's Baby, but also with some, like, hints of, like, Nightmare on Elm Street minus, like, a little bit of the 80s cheese. Like, it just, it's more of, like, an interpretive. And I think, to me, the biggest hang-up people seem to have about this movie is taking it too literally. They need to know if the Babadook was real. Was he real or was he fake?
Right.
What happened in the basement?
Oh my God.
But to me, I think it's right there in the movie. It's a Grimm's fairy tale children's storybook. It's the witch was in the woods. The children got away from the witch. When they took people back, the witch's house was gone.
Yeah.
Nobody's sitting there going like, what? Was the witch real? Or was the witch in people's heads? I need to know.
I'm glad you brought up the Grimm's. I took a children's lit class last
semester.
I had to read a bunch of the originals, and it's so true. Like, they were really scary because nobody was questioning if they were, like, really real or not. It was just a story.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it deals with, like, impressionistic. The sound design in this movie is fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. And the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Great cinematography. There's moments where it's, like, it's first just wind sound effects that slowly transitions into clearly a voice.
Mm-hmm.
That just starts going, with the wind.
That scared me just now.
I think the phone call is really creepy. I think what the Babadook, the movement and everything. I think it's worth pointing out that, and I wish it wasn't worth pointing out, but in something like this, that this is written and directed by a first-time director. It's a female, an older female.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with grief and all this other stuff, but that to me doesn't necessarily mean like, that's the other thing I see a lot too, is like people are like, what does the Babadook represent? Does he represent guilt? Is he sadness? Is he drug addiction? I'm like, he's a fucking monster!
Drug addiction.
What does Freddy Krueger represent? Who fucking cares?
Stripes.
Stripes, he's stripes. And so, yeah, I don't know. And I also love that this movie deals with like, sometimes kids are fucking annoying.
Oh my God.
Love
that.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's kids.
It's so real.
And I think like I see this sometimes in my family. You can love your kid. You don't have to like your kid.
Oh, mama.
Like you can look at your kid and go, I love you and I would die and do anything for you, but I fucking hate you.
Oh my God.
Well, we don't say the fucking hate you, but it's like, you're really annoying me right now. You need to go somewhere else.
And I think there's editing shots that truthfully I think are very like intentionally funny. I think like the first time they read the Babadook, and the kid is screaming like, is it real? Is it real? And then and she's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And then you cut to her reading the princess book and the kid is screaming in her lap.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, I made a bad choice.
That was not, I should have pre-read. That was not good.
Pre-read a book that I didn't buy and just happened to be in our home.
Right?
By the way.
I feel like she doesn't have like a solid library of books. So when this one just shows up, she like doesn't wonder what's going on.
Yeah,
it doesn't have like Stan and Jan Berenstain in the inside of it. No like author or anything. Like,
yeah,
just try this one on for size.
Also, I do want to branch in the scene too, where she is, and I think this helps that this movie is made by a woman, is that there's a masturbation scene,
mm-hmm.
and it's not played for like arousal in this movie.
No.
Like, it's almost played like, I don't want to say desperation, but it's done because it's like, she has a human need.
It's more frustration.
Yeah, she just needs to feel that, you know?
and the kid comes in, and I would be like, get the fuck out of here, seriously. Like, 10 more minutes, that's all I need.
I don't think she needed 10 more minutes. She literally needed like 10 more seconds.
I know. That's like the worst part.
Man, that's life. That is so life with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even poop. They're just right there.
Opening the door, jumping in.
Oh, all the time. I'll just be trying to get dressed. Mom, seriously, every time I'm naked, you need me. Like, can you just wait a second?
The scene when the mom is lying down, she's like, must you always be talk.
Oh my
talk,
God.
It.
Yeah.
I wrote future Rachel hangover scene.
That is good. I do really like, and I want to go back to this point, but I don't, hopefully I'm not belaboring this, but I think that it is important that it is from a different perspective than a lot of horror film directors or writers are from. Because it is someone who feels like they've been through some shit. You know what I mean? Like, it seems too realistic to be by chance. Like, it doesn't seem like, oh, here's a 25-year-old writing what it's like to be a single mother, you know, with a little boy who's annoying as all hell. Right? Like, it feels more authentic than that. And it's something that's not, a particular scene for me. It's just a general feeling that the film has that I think really amplifies the material. That being said, and Elle and I watched this when we were highly intoxicated the first time, and we didn't really think much of it.
Oh. Did you let the marketing get to you again?
No. This was
we
let the martinis get to us, I think.
Like, just kind of one of those nights, like, what happened?
What even, did we watch that? Let me check.
It just wasn't, we weren't able to be scared and, like, get into it. But this time I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this time around, Anel was maybe not going to rewatch it depending on time because we were, you know, got a lot of shit going on. So I watched it by myself, and I think didn't I send you a text during it? It was like, this is fucking freaking me out. Like, this time it was really...
I'm fucking freaking out, man.
I'm freaking out, man.
Why aren't you here? It's the middle of the day and I need you.
Because yeah. I was like, whoa, this is really getting to me way more than I expected to on a rewatch.
We all think Anel is painting the kid as her kid, but she's actually painting the kid as Eric as she watches the movie.
Sometimes, like, love someone but hate them at the same time.
Yeah, he's, like, crying in my lap and I'm reading, like...
I'm playing along with the joke going, oh, yeah, we're talking about Anna, right? And she's looking at me funny.
Every time I'm trying to poop.
I'm like, hey! Which shoes? Which shoes?
Oh, my God. Like,
the naked part would make sense. The other one would.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. So I really did like this, and then Anel did fortunately have time to watch it again. Mm-hmm. And so then I watched it again, and I was really, like, I admire the film the more I see it, I think. And that's not common for me with horror films.
Right.
Like, I feel like with the vast majority of them, I watch it for the first time, and I'm like, all right, that was scary. I liked that. I'll maybe watch that again, you know, if I...
Like the Taking of Deborah Logan.
Yeah, like the Taking of Deborah Logan, which we did last week, which is
you're gonna say the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. I'm like, that is not a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is.
And so the Taking
of those commuters.
Yeah.
The movie that we did last week, it was a good movie. It did all of the things that a horror movie should do. You know,
but
it's got,
like, you just watch it one time.
It's creepy. It's got all the jump scares. It's got all of the things that you want it to, but you don't need to watch it more than once because it doesn't have a lot of depth.
Got it.
Yeah. I liked how they portray her character, or how she, you know, portrays a mother just struggling, just getting by. And I like when she's, like, cleaning the house and think that there's cockroaches coming out of the wall.
Mm.
And then it turns out that, obviously, things are getting to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how she switches. Like, she does really well at talking very evil to her son.
Yeah. Oh, the scene when the kid is like, you're not my mother. And she's like, what'd you say to me?
Yeah. I know. Or he's, like, hiding. He's, like, scrambling away from her and hiding in the corner.
Yeah. Like, poor little guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and I'm sure that everyone else, well, maybe it was just me, but, like, at the beginning, I wanted to slap that kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you just drop kids off at a safe house? Like, I thought that was an option. But then, like, by the end, you're like, oh, my God, please just be nice to your son. He loves you. Like, that's what I got to.
Yeah, that was my exact feeling. Okay. Beginning, I was ready for the kid. Like, you know, when you're in the car and he sort of gets possessed and has his episode.
Yeah.
It seemed like I was like, okay, well, it's going to be he's going to be the evil thing or whatever. And that's fine. That makes sense because he's an unlikable little fucker already. Right. And then when it's the reveal that the mom is who's the one who's being taken over, I was like, oh, my God, this movie is totally just doing whatever it wants to all the feels. You know,
it's making
me feel all the feels whenever it wants me to.
Yeah.
Well, because that's a delicate balance to have that you so dislike this kid, but it also reminds you, and I think it helps that it's like the kid's whole thing is like, I love you and I'm going to protect you because you protect me.
Right.
And he doesn't understand. And it's the fact that it's like children are, they're an innocent, especially in like works of fiction and stuff like that. except for the Macaulay Culkin movie, The Good Son.
Right.
but it's, and so the movie does a really, great thing of like, you hate that character. And then as the movie goes on, you're like, well, I kind of know kids like this. And you're like, well, he can't help it. And he truly just does love his mother. And she is struggling, but she's also trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how she becomes unpossessed just by their love, you know, like, you would think, usually most movies where there's some kind of possession, they like have to have a priest or some kind of ritual, but...
This is like backwards Harry Potter shit.
I do think that I love the fact that they're like, nah, we're just gonna, it's just gonna be here and we just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was so smart.
Basement.
Because what the fuck else would you do with it, right? I mean, you're not gonna send it off to this realm that doesn't belong in this movie at all.
Well, you know? I think Ghostbusters, you could give them a call.
That's true, but so it just fit perfectly with the way that the movie was set up, that to where it was just like, no, that he's just gonna stay in this little secret room, and that's just.
And I think that's where you get into the fairy tale aspect of like, it's the monster under the bed, it's this thing. Like, if you suddenly had a character, and this I talked about this before, with horror movies where you have like, I always call it the Jeepers Creepers example of the character who's gonna come in and be like, I'm a Babadook expert.
Oh yeah.
Here's what this is, and here's how you get rid of it.
Some obscure professor that's like been studying the Babadook forever.
It's like what was that movie? A Sinister. It's like, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio plays the expert of the Bagul.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you exactly. know what? I was fine with the Bagul just being a creature.
Yeah. So, but my problem with that is the child is so afraid of monsters and everything. How is he okay with knowing that there's one in his basement, literally now?
Growing up real fast.
Well, I think because he's able to see that his mother can defeat it, and he knows his mother's going to protect him.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but I just wanted to get other people's thoughts.
She wanted to confirm her thoughts.
Because I see why he wouldn't be screaming and crying like he was in the first scene at a book, you know.
Because he's, like, curious about it now, and she says he can go down there when he's older, and, right. like...
Now it's just, like, this crazy pet.
Apparently. Like, and my question is, like, did they ask it, like, what it wanted to eat? Was it like, hey, we could get you some, like, Eggs Benedict or something? And he was like, no, I want worms and dirt. And she was like, oh, we can do that, no problem. Like, we'll be right back.
Maybe it's in the book.
Yeah, you're right.
There you go, yeah. So, is there a more unlikable character than the sister in the film?
Oh my god, what?
I would rather hang out
or
with...
Or the sister's daughter.
I would rather hang out with the Babadook than the sister.
You're talking about the sister's friend, who's like, I help underprivileged women.
Oh my god!
She calls her out.
I mean, that's the best!
Oh, Annelle loved that shit.
I bet she did! I could guarantee that she would like that. I loved it too. She's like, listen bitch, people have like actual problems going on. Like, my husband, Australian Justin Timberlake, died, and like, I'm having a big problem with that. And she's like, well, I hope you can get that fucking workout in.
Yeah, she's like, God, he works late, and so I couldn't work out.
Like, that must be real hard for you.
Weren't we just talking about women, you know, like,
That little girl did deserve to get her nose broken twice, though.
Oh, yeah, I wrote, don't be a dumb bitch, and you won't get pushed out of a treehouse.
Words to live by.
Yeah, she'll learn real quick.
Yeah. It was like Stepbrothers where he punched her in the face. Oh,
man. Yeah, no, I do love what I kind of mentioned, like the Nightmare on Elm Street elements, like the bringing her dead husband back only for half of his face to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it does have, like, I compare it to Nightmare on Elm Street also in the sense where it's like, the way, at least in the first one, the way she defeats Freddy is, I take away your power, I don't believe in you. And it's very similar to how she defeats the Babadook. The difference being is, like, she's like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And it screams at him, yeah.
But, and then he's like, well, I'm already dead, but I'll listen. No, but, oh shit, what was I gonna say?
Well, while Strauss is thinking, I do appreciate the way that we don't really see the Babadook. Like, we don't see, like, here's Bob as the Babadook. And he's
just
an
a silhouette for the most part.
Yeah, and he's walking around and he's getting, you know, it's like, hey, I'm the Babadook. You don't
like
see, you just don't
nails.
See some dude walking around in the getup. So I really like that because you see it as an artistic interpretation in the book and you see little hints of it and you see, you know, you see as much on the poster as you see in the movie, really.
And it feels 2D like the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the book has those 3D pop-outs, but it's still flat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they keep it throughout the movie, where they'll see a shadow, but the hands will come out, but it'll still just be two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, like, an actual shape. But another thing that's scary is it comes out during the day, too, only when they're driving. Those
Yeah, it seemed like it.
Well, it's also in the police station when she goes to report.
Yeah, so yeah, that's yeah. right. The police station.
Oh, that's right.
Still two dimensional. It's on the wall, but the hat mm-hmm. is coming out, just like when the hat was downstairs from the father, like when he was like staging his father. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was kind of like a nod to that. And then, like when they're driving around in the car, and mm-hmm. she's like hearing noises and gets in the car.
Well, she says that. Why can't you just be normal? And he fucking screams his head off. And that was the point where I was like, you know, I'm sitting there watching it, and you know, we had just moved, and I'm watching it loud, and I'm like, this little kid, like, holy shit. And then he starts, you know, having a seizure, and I felt bad for like half a second. I was like, I don't know, I don't feel that bad much.
Oh my god.
Feel that bad.
And I do love that the social workers come.
Oh yeah. Perfect timing of that, right?
Yeah, exact perfect timing. And then how she mouths off to the school when she's like, stop calling him. What do they call it?
The boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, working in the schools, I don't think the old crossbow would warrant just a stern talking to or a monitor. In 2015, that little kid would be out of that school.
It's Australia. It's different.
Right.
land of thieves.
Giant snakes.
They have
giant snakes.
Head-sized spiders.
That's right.
So weird.
That's right. Well, anything else about the Babadook before we move on? How about that? I mean, Cameron already mentioned this, but that phone call and the actual naming of the character from the character is pretty terrifying.
I wrote predator noises. Nope. So I must have been freaked out, because I did not enjoy that.
It's the high pitch when he repeats it, like, the second or third time, the Duke part, but repeats it in a higher tone. That's...
Oh, like, almost like the phone is going to, like, make a screeching sound or something?
Yeah, and that's when I was like, whoa, I do not like this now.
Yeah, and even the knocking on the door, I was like, oh, God, no, I don't want to do
it. I love when she accidentally locks herself in the room with the Babadook as it comes through the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the way that's done, where it's like the coat hits the ground next to her, the hat hits the ground.
Right, so it's just like articles of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemingly
hits her back, and her pupils get huge.
Yeah, I like the way they depicted this scary character.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's good.
We probably should touch the dog.
Mm. Oh, my God.
No. Well, the dog knew that something was up. Yeah. Animals are the first to know.
Mm. They know.
So if my cat ever starts looking at Eric weird, I'll be like, all right. I'm just kidding.
Something's up.
Kick him in the balls.
And then hit him 11 times with a
And I will mallet. Already have those like boards made with nails.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
We'll have a craft day.
Surviving the apocalypse day.
Yeah.
Nice. It'll be fun.
Sounds good. You'd be drinking while you're doing it. I'm sure everything will be made just a spec.
Yeah, so
if only in my the Tale of Two Sisters there was a Home Alone element, because the kid builds these weapons in this one, and you're next, she's making, like, don't enter the window weapons.
That's true.
Weird.
Well, I guess she kind of does try to fight back at the end a little bit to her imaginary stepmother.
Yeah.
Stabbing her in the hand. And
yeah, it's a little bit of child versus adult there, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have anything else about Babadook? Cameron, did you have anything else?
It's on Netflix. Watch Instant. I think it's definitely worth grabbing. I got the special edition Blu-ray, which has the short film, the monster that eventually became the Babadook, from the writer-director. And I'm excited to see what she's going to do next. Her name came up after Cary Fukunaga left It.
Oh, really?
She was like one of the top contenders to do It.
What do you think of that, Cruz?
I don't like that at all.
Cruz is not a fan of Pennywise.
She did not end up doing it. That job went to the director of Mama.
Oh, I still haven't seen that yet either.
Really?
No.
But, she's apparently got like two or three different films, lined up. So I'm very excited to see what she's going to do next.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, she did well with this one.
Yeah. This is a good one. All right. Well, if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliam79. Or you could follow Rachel. She's @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page for the show where you could like it. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies that we want, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies in case you're in the giving mood. Just search for the wish list called Play and Label Podcast. Before wrapping up, we should take the time to thank both Anel and Cameron for coming on the show. Strauss, we know you're hard to find, and we went over where people could find you last week. So, Cameron, if people wanted to hear more from you, maybe see you in a show or check out some of your own podcasts, where could they find you?
Definitely go to twitter.com/JurassicAlien. I'll usually post about, I've made a couple appearances on the Geek and Sundry Twitch network. And I usually try to post about that when I'm going to be doing that. Usually talking about movies or comics or, last week I played board games.
Nice.
That was fun. Other than that, yeah, Cameron watches movies. And then, me and Eric have, filmographies. We wrapped up William Friedkin and now I have Fosse films sitting here. I just got to watch one of them. And we're good to go.
I have one of them in, I think it's like the third time I've got it via Netflix, but I have it.
Perfect.
Anna says, why do you keep getting these, like the Netflix DVDs?
Mm-hmm.
And it has the like little advertisement for the Goosebumps movie.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, why do they keep sending this out?
Yeah, she's confused because she's thinking it's that movie. And we're like, no.
Yeah,
it's only
available at theaters.
No. Yeah. And if you live in the Los Angeles area, every second and fourth Saturday is my improv show that I run. The first Wednesday of the month is a sketch show that I co-produce. And the second Wednesday of the month, my sketch team has a show.
All right.
That's all of it, I think.
Dang, that's okay. A lot. Good for you.
Busy guy.
Oh, also, if you go to superheronews.tumblr, you can see my reviews of recent episodes of The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Supergirl once that starts.
Ooh, if you are, if you're a friend of Cameron's, you could also see some of his horror picks for October as well that he's going day by day in case you didn't mention that. Did you already say that?
No. Okay. So yeah, follow that on Instagram. Same Jurassic Alien. And I'm trying to pick the not obvious ones.
There you go.
As I'm reaching the day 20, it's getting a little harder.
Oh my God.
All right. So thank you for listening and we'll be back, maybe next week, maybe the week after with more horror films. Ooh.